Now our plan is from next week to have people back in the building. We go back to the old system, you book in, either phone in the office or on the website. That'll be up online this week. You'll be allocated a seat, you can come and join us. Don't feel the pressure to come in the building. It really is an option if the technology is a bit too much or you just want to be around people. But please do, our plan is from next week for you to be able to join us in the building. A number of notices, there's loads going on for Christmas, but the Advent window competition starts on Tuesday. We've got a number, I think we've got about five pictures, four or five. That gets us kind of nearly through the first week. But if you've done one, send us the photo, we'll get them online, and then basically every day there'll be one released with a short little reflection for that Advent day. So please do send them in as soon as you've done it. Shelford Drive-In Carols, that's happening on the 16th. You can book in from Tuesday on the website. If you can't access the website, you can call the office and we'll sort the tickets out. There's two services, an earlier family service and a later community carol service. And that's on the 16th of December. And this evening is our prayer meeting. We're going to join together with the other Baptist churches in Cambridge. And Lynn Green, the Baptist Union General Secretary, is going to share a little bit with us. And then we'll have time to pray collectively as all different congregations who gather. The last few have been really well attended, and please do, it's only about 50 minutes or so, log in this evening at 7 o'clock, and we'll hear from Lynn Green and we'll share a little bit of time together. Now it's the first week of Advent, and we come to light our Advent candle. I wonder if you, last week I shared, if you've got one at home, maybe you'll light it at the end of a prayer that I'm going to read. This week, as we've only got a few people in the building, Sam wants to light it, but it's Claire's birthday, so we're going to let Claire and Sam light it together, our first Advent candle. So they'll come up and light it after I've said these few words for prayer. So let us just pray. We believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, the one who is full of patience, who is not afraid of silence, who does not need to fill each moment with activity or noise, the one who is beyond the bluster and the flurry, who does not jostle for attention. We believe in God the Son, Saviour of creation, who slipped into Bethlehem one night, mostly unnoticed, who lived 30 years without headlines or hurry, who frequently took time alone with his patient Father, who waited for the right time to become the suffering servant, who stood quietly before the noise of the accusers, whose silence overpowered their words, who died then rose again on a quiet Sunday morning. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens and powers, renews and refreshes, sometimes arriving with obvious power, sometimes with a quiet breath of a whisper. We believe in one God who patiently waits for us and who longs for us to do the same. Sam and Claire, come and light our first Advent candle this morning. Sam, move this way. Thank you both. Let me just pray and then we'll let our worship team start our service together. Lord God, strange days when we have no one in the building to acknowledge this time of Advent. But Lord God, we acknowledge it collectively this morning, that you came down to earth and we light this candle as a reminder of the light that you bring into our glorious world. Amen. Now we're over to Lawrence and the team. Thank you.
Welcome to our morning service of praise and worship. It is good to see everybody, whether you're physically in the church here or whether you're listening on the live stream at home. Let us praise and worship our great God together.
Amen. God of grace.
Thank you, Lawrence and the team. We appreciate all the efforts that goes into doing those recordings. And thank you guys for putting the time in to gather us together and sung worship here this morning. And now during lockdown, we've had little conversations with people just to find about their experience. This week, Liz had a chance to sit down with Matt and Celette. So we're going to hear about what they've been doing right now. Thank you.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Celette. Nice to see you.
Hi.
Hi.
In real life, but on a screen. And we've been on coffee and chat, but that was not everybody won't have been able to hear from you then. So it's the usual kind of format. We just have to know, first of all, either in lockdown 1, 2, or the bit in between, what have you found to be your greatest challenges in this pandemic time?
Well, I mean, I guess we've had the same challenges as everyone else, really. I think the thing I've found particularly struggled with is the sort of uncertainty of sort of not knowing what the restrictions are going to be from week to week or whatever, which may makes it quite difficult to plan. And obviously not sort of seeing people as much as we want to. And the first lockdown started, well, particularly sort of back in March, April, sort of not being able to go out at all. I found that particularly difficult because Celeste's been shielding. I've kind of had to shield as well, as it were, alongside her. And that actually meant not going out at all for the first lockdown. But they've kind of changed it, so we kind of are allowed to go out for exercise and stuff, which is makes a big difference.
And I think for me, some people might know I'm a physiotherapist in the NHS. So, and because I've got cystic fibrosis, I've been advised to shield. So my work has changed considerably from normally my day would consist of seeing a lot of people face to face. And where, now obviously then with the shielding, it was just us. So I think that's been a bit of a challenge. I've been back to work a little bit in between, but I'm back to working from home, and I've not actually been able to see patients face to face since March. So that's been quite a change for me from a work point of view.
You spent a lot of time on the phone.
Yes.
And I hope it hasn't all been bad news. Have there been
some
times of blessings as well?
Yes. I think the sort of window in the summer, we managed to get away on holiday and stuff, which was really nice. And what was also quite nice, my sister was due to get, it was a bit unfortunate actually, my sister was due to get married at the end of March, and obviously that didn't happen. But what we did manage to do is actually in August, when the restrictions were, where we could actually have a wedding with sort of 30 people and stuff, that all worked, and that was a really nice time for her.
And I think I've had to get my head around technology a bit, but actually it has meant that I've been able to keep in touch with people, and being able to watch the services on a Sunday live stream and join people for a catch up afterwards on Zoom has been a real blessing. And my family, I didn't really do video calling before all of this, where now my side of this family in South Africa, we once a week we all meet together on Zoom, and we're still doing that. And actually, it's really nice catching up. Obviously, I normally speak to my parents a lot, but I speak to my brothers a lot more now as well, which has just been really nice.
Yeah, good. Silver lining then to remoteness. Good. Oh, thank you for that. Now it's good to catch up with you. And are you happy to pray for our church now?
Yes. So let's pray. Lord, we pray that as Christians, we may listen more attentively and with greater urgency than ever before to the words of Jesus. Please give us more awareness of your presence with us, both in our worship and in our daily lives. Please give us the courage to live out your truth with joy. Lord our God, transform us and use us to your glory.
We pray for those who do not know you or dismiss you as irrelevant to their lives. We pray for those who influence, encourage others to act against your will. We ask for your protection of all who are vulnerable and in danger. Lord our God, transform us and use us to your glory.
We pray for all those who are really struggling with the restrictions on life that we are facing at the moment. We ask that we may know the reality of your faithfulness. Lord our God, transform us and use us to your glory.
We pray for those who have recently lost loved ones. We also pray for those facing the challenges of deteriorating health. May you comfort them with your love. Lord our God, transform us and use us to your glory.
We pray for the church family at Great Shelford. Please give us a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to come on each of us and equip us as we reach out into the world around us in our everyday lives. Lord our God, transform us and use us to your glory.
Father, we thank you for the glimpses of your glory you give us in this life, for your friendship and your promise to be with us always. Lord, as we bring our prayers to you, we ask that you will transform us and use us to your glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. Bless you both.
Now it's time for Diana and Clive.
Good morning, everyone. Last week, if you remember, we talked about Clive's favourite story. You like stories. Yes, I know. And over the 4 weeks of Advent, we're going to read some stories which tell the story of the first Christmas. Are we reading one today? Yes. This is the first story, and it's called A Surprise for Mary. You like surprises, but only if they're nice ones. Like getting a surprise gift. Did Mary get a surprise gift? Well, I suppose it was a sort of a gift, and it was most certainly a surprise. Shall we read the story and find out? The story is called A Surprise for Mary. The time had come for God to send his son into the world. So to get things ready, he sent his angel Gabriel with a message to a young woman named Mary, who was engaged to be married to a carpenter called Joseph. One day, Mary was in her house. What was she doing? Well, I don't know. Perhaps she was cleaning or cooking, or maybe she was sitting daydreaming about her wedding plans and what her life would be like when she married Joseph. Making plans. Yes, maybe. Anyway, Gabriel appeared to her. Surprise! All golden and glowing and bright and shiny. And Mary didn't know what to think. She had never seen an angel before. Have I ever seen an angel before? Not that I'm aware of. Although angels don't always appear with golden wings and halos, so you never know. What happened next? Gabriel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has chosen you for something wonderful. He wants you to be the mother of a special baby, and you should call him Jesus." Mary was even more surprised. "I don't understand," she said. "How can I have a baby when I don't even have a husband?" Gabriel smiled at her, a warm, mysterious smile. God's own spirit will wrap himself around you like a comforting blanket, and the child who springs to life within you will be God's child too. Mary's eyes opened wide with amazement, and her mouth dropped open too. "I know this seems hard to believe," Gabriel continued, "but God can do the most amazing things. Nothing is impossible for God. So, what do you say, Mary? Will you be the mother of God's son?" Mary closed her eyes, and she closed her mouth too. She looked as if she was praying, and she wondered what Joseph would think when he heard that she was to have a baby. And what about her parents? This wasn't part of their plan that they had for her future. But Mary knew this was part of God's plan, and he had chosen her to be part of his bigger plan. And she trusted that his plan was the best. So she nodded her head. "Yes, I will do it," she said. "I will be the mother of God's son." and when she opened her eyes, the angel had gone. That was a surprise too. God's plan for Mary was part of his plan for the whole world. Yes, God always sees a bigger picture. Does God have a plan for everyone? I believe that he does. You wonder what his plan is for each of us. Well, that's certainly something to think about. What might God's plan be for you? You might like to think about that while you do the activity sheet. You can make an angel and you can download the sheet from the website. Can you do the activities? Yes, you can. And can you have cake while you do them? Well, I should think so. But we'll say goodbye now. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Well, that was me on the screen, and I'm still on the screen. But it's good to be with you today. Today is the beginning of Advent, and it's the first Sunday in a time of hopeful anticipation of Christmas, when we will celebrate Jesus' first coming as a baby, despite the fact that we may have to do it very differently than usual this year. But Advent is also a time to look forward expectantly to his coming again. And this last week, I heard Nick Baines, the Bishop of Leeds, speaking on Pause for Thought on Radio 2. And some of you may have heard him. And he reminded us that in 4 weeks, the days will begin to lengthen and the light will grow. And he spoke of Advent as being a season that dares to defy the darkening days and awaken our imagination to the possibility of hope. And he said that there is always light at the end of the tunnel. And if we can't see it, it's because there is a bend in the tunnel. And it seems appropriate that at the beginning of Advent, we should take a bit of time to contemplate and cast our minds back to some other beginnings and the hope that we gain from them. So let's have a look at our passage for today, which is in John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, but a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Last week, when Clive was looking at his favourite story, I asked if any of you had a favourite story. And if you have, what it is that makes it your favourite. Perhaps it's the way the story begins, the way it develops, or maybe it's the ending that especially grips you. But let's probe a bit further. What is it that draws you to the book, or any book, in the first place? Do you pick a book by the title, by the author, by the artwork on the cover, by the synopsis on the back cover? Do you like to look inside and read the first few sentences, or flick to the back page to see how the story ends? In a creative writing class, there is an understanding of the need to write an opening sentence that grabs the reader's attention and creates a desire for them to read further. And in his gospel, John certainly grabs our attention with his first line, which reminds us immediately of the first words in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, which say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And here, John is recreating that creation story and presenting it in a new way. He makes his beginning of the story of Jesus by taking us right back to the very beginning and before the beginning. He multi-layers the meanings with use of language, and he writes off the word that spoke the world into being, the word that not only brought light and life into what had been formless and empty and dark, but also brings light and life into the darkness of our present circumstances. In both these passages, the meaning of the Greek term beginning is that which refers to the origin. And so here we understand that the Word who was in the beginning with God is God's agent of creation, the originator of all things. And if nothing was made without him, then there was never a time when he was not. He was before and outside of time itself. This word was not only with God, but was God himself. And Tom Wright explains, John clearly wants us to see his book as the story of God and the world, and not just the story of one character in one place and one time. This book is about the character of God acting in a new way, in which the long story, which began in Genesis, reached the climax that the Creator had always intended. So what is that climax? In the story of Genesis, we realize that the climax of creation is mankind made in the image of God. And here in John, the climax is the arrival of another human being, the Word become flesh. And sometimes this phrase trips so readily off our tongues, like a familiar story that we know so well, that we are no longer surprised by it. We're no longer amazed by it. So it's good to pause and consider what it actually meant for the Word to become flesh, for God himself to put on human clothing. The psalmist writes, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of him, human beings that you care for them?" And let us for a moment consider, like the psalmist, the wonders of creation, the vastness of the heavens. Through the use of the Hubble telescope, much has been discovered that had remained hidden for thousands of years. For instance, did you know that there are more than 350,000 million galaxies? And no one knew they existed until recently, but they were there nonetheless. And the Psalms tell us that it is God himself who determines the number of stars and names each one. And then from the vastness of the heavens, we can go to the other end of the spectrum and consider the detailed intricacies of what we see around us. Did you know that a caterpillar has 228 separate and distinct muscles in its head? Or that when building a web, a spider creates 60 feet of silk an hour while simultaneously producing oil for its feet so it doesn't stick to its own web? And did you know that the average elm tree has approximately 6 million leaves? Or that an electric eel can store 600 volts of electricity in its own body? They're amazing facts. And all of this is without even beginning to consider the enormous complexities of design that we find within the human body itself. Because there is no doubt that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And yet it is this God, this same God of the whole universe, the creator of all of this, who became flesh and blood and moved into our world as one of us. John Stott puts it like this: the creator assumed the human frailty of his creatures. The eternal one entered time. The all-powerful made himself vulnerable. The all-holy exposed himself to temptation. And in the end, the immortal died. This is Emmanuel, God with us. And in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he looked at each part he had made, and he delighted in it. And he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he fellowshipped with them. His desire was and is to spend time with his creation, to love them and have that love reciprocated, to enjoy one another's company. But if you know the story, and I'm sure you do, you will know that things didn't work out quite so well, that the people he made, the people he loved, rebelled against him and rejected him. And although over the years they tried to mend what was broken, they had no success, because only the Creator can mend and restore his broken world. And here in the beginning of John's Gospel, we read of another beginning, a beginning that changes the way the story could have ended. Here we read of God stepping back in to redeem and repair, so that those who receive him, those who believe in his name, have the right to become children of God. And this is a beginning which brings hope. The one in whom we can place our hope is Jesus, Emmanuel. And at the beginning of my reflection, I mentioned that during Advent, we consider Jesus' first coming and look forward to his coming again. But Celtic Christians, in their Advent reflections, talk of three comings of Jesus. The first coming is the incarnation, when God became one of us, which is what Christmas is all about. And the third is the return of Christ at the end of all things as we know it, which is described in the book of Revelation. But in between those times, there is the second coming, which is when Jesus comes into our lives, a coming which is not regarded as a one-off event, but as a continual activity in every part of our lives, where he is intrinsically interwoven in every aspect. And this encounter, this coming of Christ, is when his story becomes part of our story. But of course, our story has always been part of his story, because our story starts way back in the very beginning, before time, before the world began. God had a plan for the world, for mankind, for us, for you and me. A plan and a purpose which we so often forget. Because just like the first man, just like Adam, we get it wrong. we fall, we rebel. And yet, before the beginning of time, God was thinking loving thoughts about you, and he planned your redemption. And in Jesus, there is an opportunity for a new beginning. Because you see, we're not at the end of the story. That is yet to come. And by the blood of Jesus, every day can be a new beginning. Through his death and resurrection, there is a new dawn, a new hope. However dark the days may seem, however difficult, God has not given up on his world. He has not given up on us. For he sent someone. He sent his Son to restore us again to that holy place from which we fell, and ultimately to restore the whole world. So as we begin our Advent journey, let us think about those beginnings and whether there are new beginnings that we need to make as we prepare ourselves and recognise that God is with us. We're going to have a time of worship now, so I'll hand over to the worship crew.
And in our lives
others needs to prefer. For it is Christ with her. Worship to the servant King.
Well, thank you, Lawrence, and thank you, Diana, for sharing God's word with us this morning. As we delve into Advent in these coming weeks. I'd love just to pray. There's a few prayer requests, then I'll go through them. Do pray for Helen Nicholson. Her husband Keith passed away. The funeral's going to be here in the church. Obviously different times and just for close family in the next couple of weeks. But I'd love just to pray for her and Alan and Megan Barker, our link missionaries. They're back on furlough. It'd be good to pray for them as well. So let's just pray. Lord God, we pray for our community in these times of attrition, times of isolation and loneliness. I pray that you would guard us, keep our minds safe in your arms. I pray that we would know your presence and your peace. Lord God, we do especially pray for friends and families in this Christmas time when decisions have to be made about who goes where. It can be an incredibly stressful time in a normal year. But I pray for real blessing and communication for families. We pray for Alan and Megan Barker. Thank you for them, for ways we've been able to connect a little bit, and hopefully on a Sunday evening we'll connect as well, and for other opportunities to speak with them. And Lord God, we pray for Helen Nicholson. I pray that she would know your blessing amongst the confusing times. Lord God, bless us now as a fellowship. Let us close by saying the grace to one another, if you're able to. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Please do join on Zoom. Grab a cup of coffee and join us there. We look forward to seeing you all next week as well. God bless.